Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. It is the Red Men Podcast. We are here. It's another week. I think this is the fifth week we've been doing this, which is astounding because time seems to be going really slowly, yet really, really fast at the same time. That's bizarre. I'm Paul Machen. I'm joined by the man, the legend, the man that I hashtag believe in Pajak. It's Mr. Chris Pajak.
Like a fucking pig in shit with all that stuff, aren't you, mate? You absolutely love it, don't you? I just regret putting that picture on Twitter now. Now I go on Twitter and it's your fucking profile picture and everything. You absolute arsehole.
Anyone who's wondering what we're talking about there, we've just started a Football Manager series live streaming on the YouTube channel. And I had more fun creating Chris's character than I've had playing the actual game itself so far. If you want to see, I'll keep it on there for a little bit longer. At the Paul Machen on Twitter, you'll see I've made Chris's face, Chris's digital face, my avatar, because it's glorious. We're also
The really annoying thing, Paul, right? A, it looks like I've had two strokes, one on either side of my face, and B, it does kind of look like me.
Mm.
So that's why I'm really annoyed.
That is the thing about those Football Manager faces, is they just have enough about you that they do.
And did you see that move in units edit?
Mm.
God damn, he's good, isn't he?
Yeah, just what I asked for people to put Chris Pajak's faces on photos of Chris Pajak. It's terrific. Anyway, Ross Chanley, good to see you. Looking lovely, fresh, tan. How are you feeling?
All right, yeah. Coping with that football still, but, you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
I might change the official Redman account when you're done with that picture. So just let me know when you're done and send it over.
100%. Yeah. I think that's more realistic. It's just all about creating a digital wave, a digital thunderclap, or whatever you want to call it.
Paul. It's about embarrassing me in as many places as possible. And that's fine, as long as we're both on the same thing and we both know that that's it. So don't tell me it's about a digital
wave. You gave me the photo?
A digital wave. You sound like some London business wanker.
Yeah, 100%. Spent too much time with them over the years. Chris Pajak, just to put this straight, tweeted me the picture of himself in the game. And, you know, so
outrage.
Just tried to create a little bit of, like, you know, online buzz. And then I've just taken the bat on and run with it. That's all I've done. Back on the channel for the first time since his crushing defeat on the Friday night pub quiz.
You're so lucky you've got me back. I've been hiding under a rock ever since.
No. You've been invited back after that performance, to be honest.
Do you know what's funny about that? He never mentioned it on the news on Monday. This is the first I've heard about it.
I know, it glazed over at me completely. It was awful. It was awful run out. To be fair, though, I didn't stack up that many few points in last place. It's nearly 9,000 or something.
I'd be interested to know if anyone's watching who also watched the quiz or has watched the quizzes for the last 3 weeks, where does Errol rank in terms of the lowest scores across the three quizzes? Just for fun.
I don't think I'm bottom of all three quizzes, by the way, just to let everybody know that from the off.
Okay.
If James Sutton did better in the first week than you, though,
wasn't he meant to have been bladded as well?
Oh, he was.
Yeah, the one.
Annihilated. He doesn't even remember doing the quiz.
Gosh, no, I've got to beat his score then, surely.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see. If anyone wants to do that for us, we can't be asked. If you want to do that, that'd be great. Right, we're going to have a warm-up question. Actually, hang on a second. Is Si, are you on this podcast? I just realised this. Or is Si just behind the scenes? Si's behind the scenes. That's cool. I realised I'm looking at the puppies like, is this really rude if I just don't say hello to Si? Is that right? Si's pulling all the strings behind the scenes. So, yeah, that's good. Give a big shout out in the comments to the
Or is he?
Or is he? Yeah. Si's sat at home with no kecks on. There's no way it was known whether he is or not. Daniel Crawford in the Redmen TV subscribers group on Facebook has said, what sport would be the funniest to add a mandatory amount of alcohol to? Chris Pager.
I mean, I wish I'd have looked at this question first, to be honest. They're all pretty funny to add it to, but I'm going to say long distance swimming.
Okay. Isn't that really dangerous?
Funny though, yeah.
And competitor in lane number three. Yes, he's drowned as well. Okay. Pull the camera away. What did he do? Like in the national, where they put like big sheets over them. What did he do? Did they get a big fishing hook? You know, like a big net.
Just turn them into buoys.
You got a big net.
Just wrap them up and wrap them in something orange, and there you go. You got to swim around the next buoy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in terms of what would be the most dangerous, like Formula One's probably up there, isn't it? God. Oh, Ross, go on, Ross. You go on. What would be funny about people driving cars at 200 miles an hour, bladder?
Because that's the main reason that people watch Formula One. You don't want to know who wins the race. You're waiting for a crash, not for someone to get hurt or die. You're waiting for a crash, and they changed it over the past 10 years, so it's a lot safer. So people don't watch it. You know, what I'm saying, drink and drive. I'm not encouraging that. But I'm just saying, answering the question.
You are right in so much as, and this is, Chris is a big Formula One fan, so he's doing very well to keep this to himself, but the outrage that he feels at you basically saying that no one likes Formula One apart from when people crash. Chris genuinely is not the races. Look, your casual F1 fan turns up for the crashes. That's what they do. I agree. I'm not saying people.
The thing is, you don't need to do that anymore. You just don't. They're all on YouTube. There's no point in tuning in for a 3-hour-long race. You just type in F1 crash, and they're all there. Trust me.
Yeah, but Chris, you know,
I'm the element of surprise.
Yeah,
there's tens of thousands of hours of fail videos on YouTube, but if I'm walking down the street and someone walks into a pane of glass instead of going through a sliding door, I still laugh my ass off.
Of course, but you're not gonna walk around the street hoping for that to happen for 3 hours, are you? Well, you might do, but you're not gonna go out just for that reason. Whereas I think Ross is right. I think a lot of people still do watch F1 and hope for a crash. But if you don't like it, it's quite boring to sit and watch just hoping for a crash when they're all there on YouTube anyway.
I've got an idea, Guanella. What do you think?
I'm torn between something like the UFC, just because I think it'd be pretty funny to just watch them going, throwing haymakers bladdered at each other, do you know what I mean? Like, can you imagine Darren Till just taking heads off while he's had a bevy? So I think that'd be quite funny. But then I'm also torn between something like pole vaulting.
Yes!
The hand-eye coordination, the amount of, like, it'd just be a mess to just watch. I think it'd be hilarious.
I'm not sure it's an actual, well, it is a sport, but, like, high-speed chess bladdered would be, I mean, I've done it in Dr. Duncan's many a time when they've had the chessboards, and I was playing this guy, oh, not that long ago, probably December or something, me and Paul Allen were there, and some guy's looking at us, and he's like, what's going on there? He's playing chess, and we're like, oh, we're just having a chat now, we left the board, and he was like, oh, okay, and he sat down and played with us for like 2.5 hours, and then he went, I'll just have a game on my own, and he was bladdered at this point, because he'd been drinking with us for ages, he was from Sweden. And he just started playing, and he was going so fast. He was like some kind of chess genius or something. And then he just went, oh, and packed the pieces away. And we went, what's going on? He went, oh, I forgot whose turn it was. And we were like, the speed he was going to, like, king to this and all that. And then he just went, oh, and just packed all the pieces up. So that could be quite funny. Or jousting.
I think you'd have to have a degree. I think there's probably a degree of mandatory alcohol involved in jousting one way or the other, really, isn't there? I've got a couple of interesting ideas. Snooker.
I thought that, yeah.
Just to liven things up. I love snooker and I love the sedateness of snooker, but I think there could be a separate league for just being bladdered and playing snooker. And let's be honest,
it's in the same category as darts, though, that, innit? It'd be just as good to watch someone dart. Are they boozed up anyway? I don't really watch darts.
They must be. I mean, everyone else is.
But the other one, practice boots, though.
Yeah.
The other one is the golf. Like, I just think people lining up like really difficult putts and like getting down on their hands and knees and just like, you know, like judging the greens, and it turns out that one of the shoes has fell off, you know. And the, yeah, I think there could be a a degree of amusement.
Definitely in the golf one. I mean, I've done it. It's hard. I've done it in many different types of states. And alcohol's probably the worst one, to be honest with you. Because it's essentially what they're asking you to do is very difficult. You've got a hole that's 300 yards long. You've got a piece of iron and a really small ball and a hole that's approximately 3 inches across. And they're telling you to hit the ball with a piece of iron four times and get it in a hole that's 3 inches across. It's just dead hard. So when you're pissed, you just end up swinging and missing half the time.
Or the third 3 holes, 3 inches apart or something.
Yeah, anyone else just basically start wondering whether there was massive euphemisms in what Chris was saying there. Like, I was like, is there an opportunity to slide it? No, well done, Chris.
Does anyone remember that game, Slam Ball, from back in the day? It used to be on Trouble. And it was basically like a
with
hard...
the trampolines.
Exactly.
Oh, what a game that was.
That would be a belter game if you was bevied. Yes. I'm just throwing that out there. I think that'd be fucking awesome.
I think we've got a winner there. Thanks very much for that, Errol. Yeah, keep your suggestions in the comments. What sport would be the funniest to add a mandatory amount of alcohol to? Thanks very much to Dan Crawford for that. First and foremost, Mr. Chris Pajak wants to talk about Project Restart.
Yes, I do. Mainly because it's the only thing that's interesting in my life at the moment is when's the football coming back? So look, the Premier League are now talking about resuming the season. And we know that Arsenal, Brighton and West Ham will now be opening their training grounds from Monday for individual work and stuff like that. You got the culture secretary, I think his name's Oliver Dowden, don't know how to say it. I said he's been in contact with clubs about restarting the Premier League as soon as possible. They're talking about operating probably by the 18th of May, everybody back in training. This is it, isn't it? This is the time that, you know, and it's just finally here. And, you know, they're also talking about free-to-air television. I just can't wait for all this. I just want to know what everybody thinks about it.
The free-to-air television stuff I thought was really interesting. This, I've been thinking about this for a few days, of like the spectacle of it, and maybe that, because what I was thinking as well is, you know, the issues we've got, and everyone keeps bringing these up, and they're right too, is where the games get played, because they're apparently the real stumbling blocks to this Project Restart. Is there's a ton of clubs who aren't happy with it because they're being proposed at neutral venues and they're not happy with that idea, which might scupper it. That was in the Times today. But also, like, things about where people are gathering and all that. There's no way they're going to make it all free to air because Sky are pricks, but if you were to make it free to air, you reduce that notion of you've got to go somewhere to watch the game. You know what I mean? And I like the idea of that. I've been bought in on this idea of like a festival of football thing. Like, do the season in 6 weeks, cram it all in, 3 games televised every day, and put it all on free to air, or at least put like the nighttime game. Or even better, think about the World Cup when you have like the 3 o'clock, the 6 o'clock, and an 8 o'clock, or 3, 5, whatever it is. Oh my God, Chris, it makes me tilt my desk.
I was talking to Mel Reddy the other day about this, and I said, so like, why are they doing this for opening the training grounds at Arsenal? And she said a lot of it is down to the fact that they want to get the players in the right headspace for Premier League football. Because right now, there's a difference between training at home. You can do exactly the same training at home as they're probably going to do, give or take, in their house. But it's about making sure, getting them back into the routine of going, you're playing Premier League football. And some of the stuff they're doing is interesting, Ross. I mean, players are arriving in groups of 5 to do individual training sessions. 10 pitches are used so players don't come into contact with each other. Each player is assigned their own ball, so they're not like sweating on somebody else's ball and getting it changed anymore. Players are on a rotor and told where to park. Buildings at the training ground are closed, and they feel it's safer than the parks because people are coming up to them and asking them for selfies. It's madness.
Yeah, I'm quite sceptical about it all, but I think it's good they're doing things in stages, because that's what's going to happen with us, isn't it? When you remove lockdown, you've got to take things step by step and see how it goes. I'm only cautious because as soon as something bad happens, that's it done. I'm exactly the same as you and Paul in that sense of, you know, I want football to come back for the sake of my own mentality and, you know, and for my job. But also, you know, if things aren't done properly, but it sounds like they're willing to go and do that and not put pressure on people. And it's over, what, a 2-month period? Because is it mid-June that they want to bring football back? I think there's a meeting on Friday, isn't there?
Yeah, 8th of June. 8th of June is the gate.
But they want people back in training. I think it's mid-May. than Sam go for it. It sounds like they thought it all out. And like I said, the other concern is, like, where do they put all this? Because the main reason that they're bringing football back is money, isn't it? Because, you know, clubs don't want to pay the Sky and BT Sport back. Sky and BT want their product that they pay for. So as long as they're not pressured by media companies just to kind of rush it back for the sake of people's safety, then I'm good with it. But yeah, bring the football back. I think, you know, we've all agreed that, you know, if Burnley are playing Norwich, you know, a bit like the World Cup, I'm watching that.
But, No,
definitely, I agree with everything that you have said, really. The one thing that I picked up on what you were saying there, Paul, was why some teams didn't want to play in a neutral venue. But right now, you can't fill the ground with fans anyway, so it doesn't really matter where it's played. So I don't really get that argument to it. But like you guys are saying there, I'd really love to be able to see some sort of footy back in the summer.
I wonder if it's like just a competitive edge thing. You know, how, you know, I don't know which the clubs are off the top of my head, but I wonder whether, like, let's say you're Chelsea, Arsenal, United, Spurs, and you're effectively in a fight for Europe with Wolves and Sheffield United. This could be the big club or the little clubs just as much. You know, being, even if you've not got your intimidating home atmosphere, there's something to having that process there. Exactly, your peg, your seat, your facilities, your preparations that you might feel gives you, you know, like, again, having the Sam Allardyce thing of turning the heat up in the away dressing room, that kind of stuff. These are stupid things, but I wonder whether, and I don't know, I'm speculating, I wonder whether there's any of that apart.
There will be, but equally, everybody's in the same boat, unless they're playing every game at Old Trafford, you know what I mean? And only many, and then that's not fair if you do that.
Yeah.
But the real interesting thing for me is, it's the free to air, because, you know, in the BBC article that I cited to you lads, they said TV. Why? Why does it have to be TV? Mm. Why can't it be Sky's YouTube channel? Why can't they make money off the back of it? We've seen BT Sport do this with the Champions League final for ages now.
Yeah,
they put the Champions League final out for free. Everyone goes, oh, that was great. Maybe I'll sign up next season. Sky and BT can still make money off this, especially if they've got every pissing game on their YouTube channel, Sky Sports Football, Sky Sports Premier League, Sky Sports
whatever. Think of the advertising as well.
Yeah, you know, do they have their own free-to-air TV channel? I don't know, but they might not.
They do on certain packages that you've got. There'll be like a free-to-air, and sometimes they used to play the games 24 hours afterwards, so you'd still be able to watch it 24 hours.
Maybe they'll have the games like a Burnley Norwich on the free-to-air, but all the blockbuster ones, as you so-called, will be on the Sky thing, and they go, well, you want to watch this game? You can have two free this day, but you want to watch Man United Liverpool? You got to pay for that shit.
That's the point, isn't it? And I think when you read free to air, you immediately think BBC and ITV and Channel 4. And I don't think that Sky and BT are going to let that slide, quite frankly.
Yeah. But you're right in saying that. Like, Sky have got the facility to do this. They have like free weekends on stuff all the time. They do it on the movies, they do it on that. They've got full control over what you see on that box. So
you can just turn the channel on for free one day, is what you're saying.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yes, you know, I'm sure you've tuned into some free views on Sky in the past.
Sky Sports News, I think, didn't they? That was free for like a year.
That's what Paul was talking about. Sure.
Well done. You just jumped in front of a bullet for Chris there. Well done.
He always used to do that at midnight, didn't he?
Yeah, 10-minute preview.
very, very exciting stuff. This is really interesting to me, like, the, because it's such an uncertain, I keep saying this, I've used the word uncertain more times in the last 5 weeks than I've done in my entire life, I think.
It's an unprecedented time.
Yeah, absolutely. Strange, weird, mad, this, isn't it? But all and all That's of the above. But yeah, one. It's everyone's is mad, this, isn't it? But because no one knows, I just like to know something, because we had the stuff with the Eredivisie last week, and you know, and obviously it's voided, and it's not voided, is it? It's a weird hybrid of being ended early and being sort of pseudo voided and stuff, and then you got this rumours about this Project Restart happening, and just off the back of that, and then you're seeing French football has been told it's not going to be coming back till August, I need to be able to find a way to make the peace or make plans or preparation. I'm a long-term planner, and it's killing me off figuratively, that I can't get a grip on this. I'm dead excited. I'm a football fan, and you know, we'll caveat all of this because we have to with the whole safety of the public. It's not up to us to be, you know, I mean, other than taking our responsibility for ourselves, it's not up to us to decide whether it's, you know, whether it's safe for the public to consume or that kind of stuff. Like, but if they can find a way to do it, and as football fans, I'm sure we'd all agree, some form of footy back, even though it will be crap, because football without atmosphere is nowhere near as good. I'm just dying for the entertainment.
What are we going to call it? Because, I mean, let's be honest, this Project Restart sounds shit. I mean, it's the most uninspiring name ever. Like, you normally it's like Project Whale or just something random, isn't it? We've got to come up with something better than
normally
Project Restart.
Though, for when you're trying to catch chavs or paedophiles, though, Chris, when you put a weird name on the end of those things. So, I mean, which maybe it is. Maybe it's a double bubble. Maybe that's what they're going for. But yeah, I it feels very derivative because, like, Project Rebirth is like a Captain America reference. But yeah, we could, they could do pizzazz is what we're saying. We need some more pizzazz.
That's what it should have been.
Or the 66.
Or the 66.
Yeah. I love that. I love it when you make a really obscure Star Wars reference and you wait for to see who clicks onto it or not. Yeah.
And I like Star Wars as well, but that is...
Right.
Prequel trilogy, mate.
Okay. Wicked, yeah, I know, shite that it is. Yeah, comments and thoughts on that if you want by tweeting us at the Redmen TV or use the comment section underneath on YouTube. Ross, what have you got?
I want to talk about Newcastle and their takeover bid. So I'm doing something with Newcastle Fans TV tomorrow. I'm going to talk to them about it and ask loads of questions. But one of the questions that I asked was, what do you think their head space is like, in the sense of, like, we've all slated Man City for kind of buying the league and chucking money at it, and Newcastle will be, fans will be part of that, and do they just kind of forget all that and go along with the ride? Go, oh, yeah, sounds like the end of my cash. You're getting loads of money now. And, you know, what would you do as like a local fan if that happened? Because, you know, we're known to have done it like the proper way, or we've invested properly and got money. If someone came in, when there's billions of pounds, go and do what you want. Would you have any conscience to go, this isn't right? Because I know there's a couple of things with the Saudis of like human rights, and there's all sorts of components to the actual bid and what's going on. Whether Newcastle fans actually think about that, or just go, ooh, shiny money, end of Mike Ashley.
It's funny, isn't it, that, like, it's probably a testament to how bad an owner Mike Ashley is that Newcastle fans are prepared to go to bat for people with horrendous human rights records behind them, because he... I'll be honest, the thing that... if they pass the fit and proper owners test, then, you know, that's a thing in and of itself. But, like, I think it must be exciting. The thing for me about it is Newcastle... I think Newcastle and Newcastle fans are deserving of having like a mega rich club. I think, unfortunately, their track record means that it wouldn't shock me if it all ended up in tears. But when you think about them as a football club and the size of them as a football club, like, if they got this, if Man City's owners had bought them instead, I think I would begrudge it far less. Because
of history and a fan base.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100% of that. Yeah. Anyone else?
I think they've got to marry up with each other, haven't they? I think they've got to have that history and fan base, as you're saying there. But even if you are going to come in with billions and billions, it's how you then funnel that money into the club. If you do just want to splash all against the wall and just go and buy every best player in all the best positions and pretty much just buy your way to a league title, then you can still look at them and say that they've bought it. But if they do kind of build up the academy, or, you know, they've got the best coaching and stuff, and then they start buying, you know, individuals that they can build a team around, it is slightly different, and it probably would look more similar to the model that we've done. So there's a couple of ways that they can do it. But if you're a Newcastle fan, I just think they'd be just made up the fact that Mike Ashley's out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the bottom line.
The interesting thing for me is I kind of disagree on the City deserve it less. City are a big club, bigger than Newcastle were. They just weren't in the Premier League for as long. You know, and even to that point, Newcastle were up and down. You know what I mean? You know, Man City, I think, have won more league titles prior to their ownership. Did they win one? Had Newcastle ever won the league?
Good question.
City had won one, hadn't they, I think?
They won the league. That's a good point, actually.
So why is Newcastle deserving? And Man City fans were always noted for being boss. Like, think about when they were in League Two, taking 3,000 away fans to every ground. They were always talked about as being boss. The reason it's all been soured is because of the way that they are now.
Yeah.
And I think it's very difficult to take that and forget about that.
Yeah.
So Newcastle, for me, are just as deserving as Manchester City were. And
Newcastle don't have to become that, though, either. That's
the thing. But if Newcastle did become that, I'd hate them just as much as City. Mm-hmm. Simple. But also, we're one of the few clubs that are the incumbent powers, aren't we? You know what I mean? Yeah. We're the ones sitting there protecting. Wasn't it better when it was a top four? Now it's a top six and you don't like it as much. It's going to be a top seven and you're probably not going to like it as much because, Newcastle with all their money. It's just the way you're hardwired as fans to think, unfortunately. And I will hate them. I don't begrudge them it now, but in 10 years, if they've won five league titles, I'll hate them.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you're right. I think that there's that thing of, for me, at least they fill the ground.
But City did before the money.
Mm-hmm. Plus he returns, and there's games behind closed doors, just a tweet that says Man City's official attendance, 52,000.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, genuinely, City used to fill their ground before they got bought.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only since then that it's all gone sour, as far as that goes.
There's a lot of old fans that were there for Division 1, Division 2. I've met a few that don't go anymore because it's not the team that they recognise anymore.
Oh, do you want to know some interesting stuff? I've got it up just for the sake of argument. Newcastle have won the league four times.
Have they, yeah?
Yeah, they won the second division four times as well. Obviously, they've done now the championship. FA Cup six times. The Intertoto Cup's the best European trophy they've won, which is probably not far from what Man City have done. Out of interest, City have won the league six times, second division seven times, FA Cup six times.
They're in the same ilk, aren't they?
Yeah, they're about, aren't they? But yeah, I it'll be interesting to see. You're right, Chris. A professional and sporting rivalry makes a big difference in that, because you're right. I had no problem with City, and it was probably like, I also used to have no problem with Oasis. But these things seem to sour over the years.
The one thing that I think it would be good for, though, is the Northeast, just in terms of, obviously, they haven't got like a powerhouse of a football club up that end of the world at the moment. And obviously, with Newcastle going up and down and being a little bit fluctuant in that sense, it would just be nice if they could just be, you know, a powerhouse for the Northeast of England. And, you know, that's just my take on it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, I'm sure all the people in Sunderland would disagree massively, but there, so be it. You can't.
And possibly our captain.
Yeah, definitely. Errol, what do you want to talk about?
So I think it would have been this week that they would have been announcing the PFA Player of the Year, and the gongs would have been going out, and obviously the ceremony's been cancelled for obvious reasons. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on who would be your Player of the Year. I can imagine it's all going to be a Liverpool player, and then obviously we can park that and then pick a non-Liverpool Player of the Year as well for anyone else that might just be watching.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
I'm going to go Jordan Henderson as Player of the Year for the simple fact that the timing of when the season broke was perfect for him. I mean, he proved how important he was, where Liverpool stopped winning every single game when he wasn't in the side, came back and Liverpool looked like a different side again. So I'm going to go Jordan Henderson. I think he was unbelievable. And I'm going to go something a little bit different. I can't bring myself to give it to De Bruyne, although I think he's the best player in the league, potentially. I'm going to go Adama Traore because of just a massive jump in what he did and how just difficult he was for teams to deal with this season. And I know he doesn't have the stats to win something like this, don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But, you know, old school most improved, I'm going to give it to Adama Traore.
Amazing. Ross?
Right.
I agree with Chris. Jordan Henderson takes it for me, I think, on and off the field. I'm not sure what the criteria is, but I think, you know, take the past couple of months into account what he's done and getting all the captains together and, you know, supporting the NHS. The things that he already does for the football club anyway, the fact that World Cup champions, the form in the league, you know, by now he should have lifted that Premier League trophy on top of everything else. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we talk about improvement in players and being recognised by opposition fans as well. You know, there's a lot of England fans or fans of other clubs that have slated him. I think he's, you know, they're sitting up and, you know, taking note of him now, and I think that's down to him and what he's done in Liverpool. For the non-Liverpool, I don't really think about other players. I haven't really watched anyone, to be honest. You know, I think Chris is right. De Bruyne is probably, you know, one of the best players in the league right now. But I don't know anyone who's of merit. But, you know, I think as a collective, you know, there's probably people that are like, you know, at Wolves or Sheffield United who will have really good seasons, but they don't stand out because maybe there's not characters, you know, at Sheffield United or, you know, teams like that do stand out. So yeah. I'll probably give it to one of them because I think, you know, what they've done is gone under the radar because of what Liverpool are doing. And mm-hmm. I think they're equally deserving of something.
It's an interesting one. I mean, it has to be. I don't think De Bruyne should win it. But I think if it wasn't going to be a Liverpool player, I think De Bruyne should. You look at his assist return is ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous this season, and he's brilliant, isn't he? And he probably, players of that quality, you kind of, you don't know how long he's going to be at that level for, and it matters more that he's not at that level for long now that Man City and Liverpool are rivals on the pitch. I'd be happy for him not to be this good for a very long time, but if I was to take my, you know, my red tinted glasses off and put me, you know, genetic football supporter, you know, bucket hat on, presumably with like my 1990 World Cup England shirt, I would be made up, you know, for someone like De Bruyne to get it, because he should, players of that quality should be getting the honours. What's weird?
Just got this mad vision of you with a fucking Sony Walkman as well.
Throwing beer over myself when I get excited.
Yeah, with the, what's that thing, Emotion? Well, the Emotion playing in your fucking big bum bag.
Yeah.
Bucket hat.
Yeah, absolutely. For the Liverpool one though, like I agree, I want Jordan Henderson to win it, and it's mad that my other choice would be Sadio Mane, and yet Sadio Mane doesn't have as many goals or assists as Mohamed Salah. And yet, so Salah's just unreal. Like, some of the stuff I've seen him do this season, like, I have laughed. I haven't seen performances like that since Suarez, when a guy's just gone and taken games by the scruff of the neck and been absolutely unplayable. But I don't know. Yeah, I think Mane, because when we say like the most improved thing, Chris, I think it's interesting, because I don't think it's been a staggering increase for Mane, but I think he's crossed over this season from being a really good Liverpool player to being a really great player on the world stage. You know, we look at his ranking in the European Player of the Year, the Ballon d'Or awards, and the FIFA Best awards. And, you know, if he played for any other of the top European sides, he might actually have a bigger chance almost of winning it, because the votes get so diluted because we've got so many good players. So I would be made up for Sadio Mane to get it, because I think you go back to the Champions League final in Kiev, where Salah goes off and Mane tries to win us that game single-handedly, and he steps up to the plate, and he'd been doing that for the season before when he was our main man. I think the few players in our team who have so consistently done everything in their power to make Liverpool champions, quite like Mane, I don't think he'll get the recognition, but he would.
Do you think that's also because of how Salah plays as well, because of what he's done in two seasons before? Are people going, well, you can't leave Salah on his own with one person, we'll put two people on him? Because his hold-up play, what he does now, is different.
And let's be honest, mate, if he was in the Pepsi adverts, or he was on the Nike billboards, I've said this for a while, like, you know, players become accepted as being world class by osmosis. It's not necessarily your performances on the pitch. It's your whole brand needs to be on point. And Virgil van Dijk,
he's got the New Balance boots, mate. He's got the New Balance boots.
Exactly. He's got a documentary.
No.
He's on the front of Lime Street there for 2.5 days.
Yeah.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Well, that's the boys, isn't it? Is that the documentary thing's interesting because of that. That means that I think he is starting to, he will get more, he'll have more eyes on him and people talk about him. But like Virgil van Dijk, Bernardo Silva made the point a couple of weeks ago, didn't he? We talked about it in the news that he was a bit, it was a throwaway comment, wasn't it, Ross? A bit like how Liverpool win prizes more often because they're Liverpool, and there seems to be a thing that goes along with them because City put down the two best seasons in Premier League history back to back, and Virgil van Dijk and Mo Salah won the PFA Awards those two seasons because Salah scored all the goals. Everyone was talking about Salah, best striker in the league, and then Virgil van Dijk was this mythical figure last season, whereas you could argue like Bernardo Silva and Aguero and stuff were having just as good seasons.
That comes down to personality as well. I don't know, it's the bubble that we live in, but you mentioned all the stuff with Salah, but you know, it's the stuff that, you know, managed, I think he's in the documentary as well, you know, building hospitals and helping out education in his country. And like, I don't really see that from any Man City players, whether they do that or not, it is a different thing. So the only thing I see from Bernardo Silva is him moaning about it in the Q&A. Because, you know, you've got Liverpool players that are, you know, donating millions of pounds to where
my point about them is more that like everyone in the Premier League really rates Bernardo Silva, but the people in Serie A talk about him being one of the best people in the Premier League. They might do, but probably not. You know, like he's not on the short list of the best players in the league. Whereas, you know, there's all the again, it's all the associated stuff that goes around.
Just
it,
to get yourself on Virgin Media adverts and be sad,
won't he? Go ahead, Adam.
I would have went for Virgil van Dijk. I think he would have, as ours, I think he picked up from where he left off last season. I still think we've got the best defence in the league. I still think he's been a man mountain of a centre half for us, really, where I think he gives everybody else the confidence in front of him to go out and do what they can do, because they know defensively he's going to shore things up. And more often than not this season, obviously up until the Watford game, it had been working for us. So I don't think we could have done much better than that. I think in my lifetime, the only season where we've lost more than what we've lost this season was the 08-09 season. It was the best I've ever seen. So I think we've done a couple levels better than that the last two seasons, and I think Virgil van Dijk's a big part of that. And out the other players from other teams, I would have picked Jamie Vardy would have been in with the shout, because he's top goal scorer as it stands at the moment for Leicester. And I think obviously Leicester as a team sitting in a European place is a big achievement. So that those two part and part, those two hand in hand kind of would suggest he might be in with the shout. And Aubameyang for Arsenal maybe as well. His goal record and his goal return has been solid for them all season. I've always liked him before he moved over to the Gunners anyway as a player. And I think if it wasn't for his goals this season, they probably wouldn't be sitting in the top 10 of the Premier League as it stands right now. So he might be another player that could be in with the shout for a winning deal.
Interesting one.
Trent Wynn's the young player, by the way, hands down, no messing around at all. Mm-hmm. Nobody else is in sight. Klopp walks away with the manager's one, and Wilder comes in second. End of.
Yeah. I think there's a few players that'd be in a good shortlist, or would make a good shortlist for the Young Player of the Year, though.
Yeah.
If you're in contention.
You might find like Mason Mount or someone like that might get the
proper nod. Like Mason Mount, wasn't he? He was brilliant.
Who's the young lad for Norwich as well? Cadwell, he's had an alright season. Yeah, he's had an alright season as well.
You're right. Trent just because he's been doing it on the big stage as well, isn't he? But yeah, it wouldn't be honest.
He should be on the shortlist for player of the season.
Yeah.
Never mind the young player of the season.
He's lucky, or I should be saying, in terms of the PFA, they're lucky that he's able to be in that category. You find that a lot. It's like lads who, like Harry Kane won Young Player of the Year, didn't he? When he was, everyone was like, is he not like 30? But he was like 24, I think, and still winning the Young Player of the Year award, because it allows you to get another big.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was Ronaldo won the Young Player of the Year when he was by a mile the Player of the Year.
Yeah.
I'm sure they love it when that happens, don't they? Because they're essentially given two, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, let us know yours then. Who do you think should be, and who do you think would be your non-Liverpool one? Again, tweet us at the Redmen TV or use the comment section underneath. Right, there's something I wanted to talk about, because I haven't done this on the news shows, but it broke that Liverpool are delaying the build on the Anfield Road extension plans. The Athletic.co.uk have covered this. James Pearce is talking about the reasons kind of why, and it's likely to be put back a full year, which is a real disappointment as far as I'm concerned. Obviously you can get this article on the Athletic.co.uk if you want to get it. We've got a deal with them at the moment where you can get 50% off your yearly subscription by going to the Athletic.co.uk/RedmenTV, where you'll see this article what we're going to talk about it anyway. Ross, I get it. I mean, look, these are the kind of things that are going to happen. At the moment, we're seeing all kinds of knock-on effects from the pandemic and what have you. My fear with this is that you don't get long in the sun as a football player or as a football team. And you get your times to capitalize on things. And I really hope this isn't, you know, one of those opportunities where we're not going to miss out on the opportunity necessarily, but it could be damaging to this wave we're sort of coming up to the crest of.
Potentially, yeah. The big take I took from it, and I think you went to one of the meetings as well, didn't you, Paul? Yeah. I think I went to the last one with Matt at the time, and it was about the timing. So same as the main stand, wait for the season to finish, get the work started. You know, the biggest gap that you've got where there's not going to be football being played, that's all been thrown up in the air now, hasn't it? Because we don't know what's going to happen. So if we could finish this season, there could be 2-3 weeks and they start the next one. It's just not safe to go and do so. But as you spoke there, it put me back to when Peter Moore was talking about the furlough stuff. And I think, I can't remember his exact phrase, but he said basically, you know, okay, we can pay those people, we might put a short in other places. That might be one of the things that you're talking about there, saying, well, are they going to stop Liverpool doing this now so they can put some of the costs towards that? But I think you're right, riding that crest of the wave and thinking, we're building this stuff, we're building that stuff, we're still getting curvy, that's still happening.
Yeah.
I think it's just a case of delaying the time, so it's safe to put it together.
Yeah, and Liverpool are keen to stress that. There's a bit in the article where they asked, you know, James Pearce kind of poses the question, is there financial elements? And he says Liverpool are adamant this is about timescales and practicalities rather than cash. It's backed up by the fact the finance of the project's already in place. So yeah, you know,
let's just think about it for a second. Construction's pretty much stopped, hasn't it? So they're going to come back and they're going to have to start the projects that have been stopped. And you can't just walk out on a hospital halfway through or whatever. Can you?
Seen the new Royal Hospital, Chris?
That's literally why I said it. And then, but you're not supposed to. And then, you know, these got other projects in line. You know, you might be in with a really big building company who've got loads of work to do, who are saying, look, we don't know, we can't work at the moment. You're going to have to push it back. It might not be just Liverpool, you know what I mean, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Every industry is affected.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just a shame because obviously the plans sounded really good. Errol knew they were talking about it was going to be like the main stand where they do it during the season and get it finished in the close season, that it's ready to go. You know, the following season, the plan was for it to start. The plan was that in the off-season in 2002, they'd get to a point where the current upper tier would be dismantled and then the new structure would be, they'd been building behind and over it, would then be connected exactly like the main stand. I mean, this is just, maybe a little bit of, hopefully it doesn't come to pass, but I have that thing, this is the problem again, comes back to it with football. Like, footballers have short careers, you have all these things. That's my big fear about football not coming back soon enough, is that, and it's a selfish thing from my perspective, because I'm just such a Liverpool are too important to me. I don't want us, I've waited so long for us to be good. Yeah. And, you know, we did a show, like, what, 2.5 months ago, when this was all rumoured to be happening, the pandemic and stuff, and we laughed it off as us being like a fear-mongering. We laughed it off, you know, this whole typical Liverpool, if something stops us from being X, Y, and Z. But yeah, that's, you know, that is the fear, isn't it?
At least the asteroid never hit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Chris. That might have been 4 days ago. I think it must have gone by, you know. I think it was the 24th of April. Yeah. Hang on, I can hear something.
No. Do you know what, though? I think it's obviously not a good, it's not good timing for anything like that, but I'm more bothered about the future of the club. And if it means that in 10 years' time, we've still got one of the most competitive teams in the league, that, you know, has got one of the biggest capacities in the league, and we've got one of the biggest fan bases around the world, then I don't think it's going to hamper us that much to delay things by a year. I think what the article is alluding to about it about being about practicalities and stuff, I think that just makes sense right now, because even in my type of work that I'm doing at the moment, all the projects that our work we're putting on have been put on hold, that we was doing up in Fleetwood and stuff like that, just because it's just the way it is at the moment. Yeah. You know what I mean? Things have had to be redistributed and funds have got to be elsewhere for the time being. So there will be stuff like that all over the place. And I can imagine now, with it being the football side of things, making sure that the football on the pitch doesn't get affected is probably the main priority from everyone concerned.
Yeah. Look, everyone's in different situations, aren't they, Paul? I think Mascheri will be made up. The race is getting delayed again. Because they were starting to get a real date in mind there. The Everton ground. And Mascheri will be happy about that now.
Yeah, and it means as well they don't have to rush to put up some more like boxes or cladding to block the view of the new stands like they did with the last one.
We don't have to build a whole new stadium. Like those down the road.
Absolutely. But I think you're right in terms of the financial side of things, and it's obviously mentioned by James Pearce in the article, and you know, it gives Liverpool breathing room because it means that they don't have to be financially committed to taking it on, to getting it done in the time frame when, of course, the world's still very, very, very uncertain. So like they don't need to rush to get the planning permission confirmed and all that kind of stuff. Like, so yeah, definitely want to watch it again if you want to read that article.
It also depends on like when people can go back to the football stadium. We're also putting building more seats, you can't put anyone in there.
Yeah, that's a
good point. I mean, I am a little concerned about Everton though, in regards of, you know, the way that the world's coming back to how it used to be. There's blue whales in the Mersey now. I mean, their planning permission might just get fucked off.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, you got blue whales and sharks and dolphins down there. They might just, you know, take over those docks.
We're going to find unicorns at Bramley Moor before they put a spade in the ground, Chris, so don't worry about that.
Or even the Arteta money, Paul.
Yeah, definitely. You can get that article, theathletic.co.uk/RedmenTV, and again, you get a 50% discount off your yearly subscription fee to The Athletic. It's really, really good, and you can get involved on there with some boss writing, keeping us up to date with everything that's happening with Liverpool and, of course, with world footy as well. Right, yes, we're going to move on to the Sanity playlist. Each week we create a playlist on Spotify created by three tracks that we each pick that kind of, I don't know, give you a slight insight into our mood, mindset, things that have been getting us through the past 7 days or so. Chris, real mixed bag this from you this week, mate.
You think so, mate?
Vampire Weekend, and then I've never heard of this, so mixed bag.
Okay, yeah. Vampire Weekend, their new album's an absolute belter. And what I love about Vampire Weekend albums are that they're just pure sunshine albums. I always feel like it always reminds me of going to see them in Glastonbury a couple of times, or going to see them at an outdoor festival or whatever. So I love it when it's sunny. Vampire Weekend, I always put on in the summer. Then Menzingers, Boss Little Punk Band. And Ganache is a bit like, I don't know what type of music Ganache is. It's like, maybe it's for younger people. I genuinely couldn't tell you. It's a cool song. I think you'll enjoy it. Like, I think you'll like it actually, Paul. And you'll definitely like the Menzingers.
Perfect. Good. Look forward to it. Ross?
Arctic Monkeys, 505. Because I don't think we've had an Arctic Monkeys song on any of the playlists so far. Wish You Were Here, Pink Floyd. Just a quality tune. And appropriate probably right now to someone. And Baz Luhrmann's Sunscreen song. Oh, Everybody's Free. Because it came on the other day, and I was like, it's such a poignant song. There's a line in it for someone in that song. I thought, if anyone who's feeling down or a bit crap at the minute, go mark that on.
Amazing. Just check to see if there are any little ears listening there. Well done, Ross. Sunscreen is a absolute brilliant song. It's the most, I didn't get it. Because we were teenagers, I think, when that came out, but you're too young to appreciate all the advice that Baz Luhrmann offers in that song. Stretch, everyone stretch, always stretch. It'll save yourself in later life. Absolute bangers there. Edel, I haven't got yours. What are you going for?
I was just going to go for Kanye West, Through the Wire, off his Dropout album. I think that's just a classic Kanye tune. What was the other one? I was going to have James Blake's Retrograde as well. That needs to be thrown on there. There's a few house mixes of it, but I think the one on Spotify is his version of it. It's a belter. And then the last one, I'm torn. I didn't really have one. I kind of wanted Football's Coming Home, because now we've been given some sort of dates. I'm kind of optimistic that it might be, but I think I might just scrap that and I might just dig out another Liverpool local, if you don't mind. I've seen his work on Spotify the other day. His name's SSJ, and he's got a tune out at the moment. He's got two, but the one that I like at the minute called Kosher. Give that one a listen on the playlist.
Absolutely. I made this like summer playlist, which has been sorting me out, and like, you know, the weekends it's been really nice, and I've been out in the garden and having a few bevvies, but I kind of overplayed it, so I just needed something to throw on. I didn't want to have to make a new playlist, so I just typed in Big Band on Spotify, and it came up with like all the best songs from all the best big band artists. And it, so I've gone for a big band slash swing triple header of Ain't That a Kick in the Head by Dean Martin, Don't Rain on My Parade by Bobby Darin, and Mac the Knife by Bobby Darin as well. Particularly Don't Rain on My Parade, that, you know, it's a some proper power uplifting songs. So there's like a show tune version of there, isn't it? I'm sure it's like Barbara Streisand or something who did a cover of it, or maybe it was the other way around, I don't know, but I really like that version. It put a proper, that kind of music, apart from like the really wanky croony like love stuff, which is all a bit like, it can be a bit much, but so many really, you know, just the drumming's all fantastic and all that stuff, and yeah, really get you pumped and get you in a good mood for some sunshine. So yeah, that was a little key into my weekend. Just gone, and Si's gone for Lizzo, Juice, Talking Heads, Nothing But Flowers, and Big River by Johnny Cash as well. So yeah, you can get onto all those songs. I'll put the link in the description. We'll tweet it out off the Redmen TV as well, or you can just type Redmen Sanity into Spotify. This is the fifth week of that. The four previous weeks are there if you want to go through them and get a little, you know, boogie on or whatever. Then you go and do that. You go and do that when you finish listening to this. Let's get a little update. Last week, it was Chris versus Tom. Just to give anyone new to the podcast, what it is that in the previous series of it, we had to do schoolyard rules, alternating picks to pick two 11s based out of the current Liverpool squad. Last week, we mixed things up after I won that round of the fixtures. We've now gone for the 13-14 Liverpool squad, linked intrinsically to the fact that I have it as an option file on Pro Evo this year, thanks to PES Universe. So, yeah. We go head to head, we pick our 11s, and then I live stream them on twitch.tv/matesgaming on a Friday night, and we have our ultimate winner decided by the game, simmed by the computer. And last week, Team Chris took home the victory over Team Tom with this.
Luis Suarez, he's been the only man of note in this entire game so far. Aspas, what can he do here? He's just playing with himself. He's playing with himself. Shot there. Who's Martin Kelly striding forward like a champion racehorse in the final third of international. Henderson! Jordan Henderson! Jordan Henderson! Jordan Henderson! 13-14 Jordan Henderson! His fingerprints have been all over this game, and he has broken the deadlock in the 84th minute. Shades of things to come from Jordan Henderson, the man who would go on to Little Legs lift the Champions League, future captain, doing all of the dirty work for Steven Gerrard here, arriving in the box. Wonderful touch by Jordan Henderson, weaved it into his spell and fired low beyond Simon Mignolet. An unstoppable strike from Jordan Henderson. Jordan Brian Henderson, take a bow, son. You may well have won Team Payjack a place in the final of the schoolyard game.
Chris, the poll finally won out. Yeah. And I'm just talking about you.
It should have done, you know, in the first series as well, to be honest, Paul. It was a disgrace that we weren't told that the deciding factor was a game. It was the poll when the teams were picked, and I won the poll. Then all of a sudden I lost the game, and that was series one, how decided how we were going to do it, because I never got to the final, which was interesting. So last week I picked it for the computer game, and I won. Yeah. There you go. And I'll win this series because I know what the rules are now, because they're not just being made up on the spot to make me lose.
What really?
Not bitter about it, though. Don't worry.
Obviously not. What's really interesting is that did you forget John Flanagan existed, or was it a deliberate decision?
Yeah, I forgot. I didn't forget. I miscopied the list of players onto my piece of paper.
Right, sounds. Because Martin Kelly ended up at right back for you and created the winning goal.
What can I say? I basically just dead lucky there, because I literally just forgot Ryan Flanagan's name now.
Yeah, and Tom actually has played three games in this now, and manages to register their first shot on goal, not on target, on goal in three whole games of football. So he's been cursed from the start. Yeah, I know, honestly, mate. I don't know why he's so bad at it. It's just like it's a pretty arbitrary thing.
Sliders, Paul.
Yes, backsliders. That's what it is. Bearing in mind that I beat Ross the other week with Adrian at right back. But there you go. Anyway,
what was the result of the poll?
You had like a 95% of the poll, I think.
I saw it at 97. Like,
yeah. I think it was like 95.5% of the poll. I think
I just so that's what it finished on. I just kept getting tweets about it, and they were like, "Did Chris have picks 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5?"
Amazing. Yeah, if you want to go and check out, obviously that was on last week's podcast. You can check how they came to that. If you want to see the game, it's still there. twitch.tv/MageGame and with my commentary over the top is there for you to go back and peruse. This week it is me versus Ross. Does anyone have a coin?
Oh, you just asked me this last time.
Yeah, no. Every week, I do it every week. I don't think about it, and I don't have anything to flip. Si, have you got anything you can flip?
Oh, I've got a penny.
What? Flip your phone?
I literally pick my wallet up once a week now. Yeah. So, like, coins I definitely don't have.
Right, I think we need, yeah, I know, Ross, but just for the sake of fairness, I think it's probably, has Chris or Errol got something, anything that they can flip?
Not in arm's reach, like. Not gonna lie.
I could throw myself onto the bed and do a spin at the same time, and if I land on my back, we can say that that's tails.
I mean,
I'm happy to turn the camera around and have a go.
Yeah, do it.
Something behind my back. I've got things that something like
Chris is going for it.
What's wrong with this?
Well, you because you're playing.
Right.
Ross has got a penny. Right, Chris, I'm gonna call.
I can't hear you, remember, so I'm just going to jump back straight onto the bed while you're ripping the quilt, okay?
Go! Hey!
I think...
I guess first pick.
Sorry, what happened then?
I don't know. I think I landed on the side, to be honest, lads.
Right,
maybe we use Ross's coin.
Go on, Ross, you want to flip the coin?
No, put it back in the bowl now.
In the bowl.
Yeah, you want to put this bowl full of
okay, whatever.
Rubbish.
I bang my head on a Mac then.
Honestly, I apologise to podcast listeners on this. As ever, I would always encourage people to go check things out on YouTube. It is where we shine. Go on, Ross. Do you want to flick it and I'll call it?
Yeah, go on.
Flick. Heads.
Tails.
Okay. Do you want to pick first or second?
Yeah. First, Suarez.
Oh, hey. Okay. Gerrard.
Mignolet.
Son of a bitch. Jones.
What? You don't need to buy a goalkeeper when there's...
Coutinho.
Sturridge.
Sterling.
Twat.
You can't have him.
Oh, no. okay, I'll have...
Were you annoyed at him? Were you calling him a twat? Or...
Yeah. I will have Lucas.
Hendo.
Ooh. I will take Alan.
Sacco.
What happened to him?
Okay, I will have Aga.
Skirtle.
Torre.
John Glanson.
Sad. I will have Jose Enrique.
Sissoko.
Sissoko. Okay. I will take John Flanagan.
Do you remember Flano?
I can't believe no one's gone for Martin Kelly. He was literally the difference maker.
It was as well.
Did you pick Lucas?
Yeah.
Well, there's not many midfielders knocking about, is there? Victor Moses.
Ooh, okay. Iago Aspas.
God. Who's left there? Luis Alberto.
Shit. Oh dear.
Can come out of one now.
Yeah. Oh dear. Oh, João Teixeira. That's it. Oh dear. Okay.
Have you ended up with João Teixeira in your side, lad?
I'm gonna go. I have to go with. I'm gonna play four. I'm gonna play mid. I'm gonna play diamond.
Yeah. What's your midfield line look like?
What's the 11?
So my 11 is Jones in goal.
Yeah.
Left back Enrique, right back Flanagan, mm-hmm. centre backs Agatore, midfield anchor of Lucas, me two centre mids, Joe Allen and João Teixeira, Steven Gerrard in the 10, and Sturridge and Aspas up front.
That's got goals. I can't understand why you've ended up with four centre midfielders.
But there was no other attacking players left.
Right, okay.
What about Jordan Ibe?
You know what? I didn't even write Jordan Ibe down. There you go. Done it again. This is how I ended up. This is how I ended up with Henderson at centre half when I played you last time. Right, okay, there we go. So Ross, what's your team?
Melee in goal, Glenn Johnson, Sacco, Skirtle, Sissoko in defence, Hendo, DM, Coutinho, Luis Alberto, and a front three of Sterling, Suarez, and Moses.
Yeah, he batters you. That Ross's side's far superior.
Let us know in the poll what you think it would be. If you want to go vote on Twitter, you can do at the Redmen TV. And if you want to see how that game pans out, again, twitch.tv/mategaming, about half nine Friday night, live on there, one for the ages, I'm certain of it. But yeah, wait with bated breath, and I am certain that I'm going to get killed on the poll, but hopefully, you know, the poll has favoured me in the past, so let's see how we get on with all that. Let's get to a couple of questions before we wrap up then. Richie Cram, favourite footy kit of all time, doesn't have to be Liverpool. Chris?
T87-88 Liverpool home. Crown paints,
nice.
Both of them, you know, equally the grey and the red. But I do have a tendency to think sometimes I prefer the candy one, sometimes I prefer the crown paints. But overall, I think I prefer the crown paints.
That the red home one from the next season, the candy one, was my first ever Liverpool shirt. So that holds like a proper special place in my heart. Well, Ross, what have you got?
I think it's the one that the new Nike ones based on. I think, is it 94, 95 or maybe 95, 96?
93, 94.
That was my first ever kit.
White and green? Was that the white and green away?
The red one.
Oh, sorry, no, okay.
With the white and teal thing around it, yeah. I've got one upstairs. It doesn't fit me right, but like it's just for memories and nostalgia. I like that one.
Amazing. Edel?
Did we have a champagne kit? I don't know why. I feel like I can remember.
Yeah, the Ecru
when I was a kid.
Netto bag one was that, or?
No, the Ecru one, like the cream one.
Yeah, it was. It must have been like a cream one, and it was like a circle emblem.
That was
one of the kits I had as a kid. But one of my favourite ones is the 08-09 home kit.
Yeah,
I like that one. And to be fair, just a little backstory as to why it's probably my favourite kit is because Yossi Benayoun gave me one of his match day kits randomly one day after kids went to the same school. So that was the connection, and he was obviously playing for us at the time, and he got us tickets to go and watch. I think we played Bolton over one Christmas, and then afterwards, a couple of weeks later, he just turned up to the schoolyard and gave me one of his shirts. So yeah, it was one of my favourites, like back in the day.
Is this the school that Si and Tom went to as well?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
bad,
that, isn't it? Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, funny that you've got a Yossi Benayoun.
Had a Yossi Benayoun shirt.
Oh, devastating.
I've moved a lot since leaving me ma, so I don't know where. I couldn't tell you where it is, but yeah, it was.
It's on eBay somewhere, isn't it?
Absolutely gutted, yeah. Yeah, unsold. Liverpool-wise, 93-94, the away kit with the green sleeves and the black, big black three stripes up the side is probably my favourite Liverpool away kit. Random other ones, like the... I can never remember the year, but there's like a spell of AC Milan from like 86 to 92 where every one of their home shirts was gorgeous. No, it would have been pre-Opel. It was like, this is more like the Hullet era, the Hullet Van Basten era of kit. It would have been made by, might even have been made by Lotto at the time. There was an Adidas one, and then there was a couple of Lotto ones that were absolutely fit. So yeah, probably something.
I think international ones, was it the 2002 World Cup where Nike must have just sponsored every team that played in that World Cup? They did Belter kits that year.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, almost all of the Adidas kits in World Cup 94 are absolutely, I absolutely love every single one of them. So yeah, take your pick from there. Right, we're going to be doing loads more questions from you guys over on the RedmenTV.com. It is a subscriber exclusive Q&A show. It's just more of this. If you enjoy the podcast and you want a bit more of us just shooting the breeze and chatting and answering some random questions, including if you had to recast a Star Wars movie with the lads from Red Men, who plays who? Would you rather have your non-dominant arm replaced by a random animal appendage, or have your entire bottom half replaced by an animal's butt? What the hell is that question? And other stuff. I'm not sure we're going to top that question, to be perfectly honest, but go to the website, theredmentv.com, sign up. It helps to fund everything that we're doing at the moment, obviously, in interesting, shall we say, times. The people who subscribe to the website are redmentv.com subscribers, are absolute heroes at this point. If you want to join them and get loads of amazing content too, you can do. There's an exclusive interview up there this week that I did with Martin Kelly, not just hero of Chris Pajak, his Pro Evo team, but also a really good lad as well. Interviews with Jose Enrique. There's loads of loads of exclusive stuff, plenty of stuff to keep you occupied in this time. Go and join up, and we'll see you there. Ta-da.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.